Reporting for the Shire, this is Alicia Utech from Matamidi Senior High School. In recent news, the Matamidi High School wrestling team raised over $1,000 for Randy Shaver's Tackle Cancer fundraiser. Way to go, Zephyrs! The Matamidi High School Mathletes team is the first team to win all five conferences. They will advance to the state finals, which will be held in March. Nice job, Mathletes! The Stillwater Area Public Schools District is in talks of closing three elementary schools to accommodate the population. Several parents plan to protest the potential closings of the schools and wish for the smaller elementary schools to remain open. While driving through downtown Stillwater, one will most likely notice the multitude of Stop Bold Cold signs situated on street corners. The school board will vote on whether or not to consolidate the elementary schools. The Stillwater boys hockey team won its first ever conference championship last week, earning the title for the first time in school history. Congratulations, Ponies! The Stillwater Area High School yearbook will celebrate its 100th anniversary of yearbook sales. The Capiconian has been producing Stillwater's print legacy for the last 100 years and has been awarded multiple accolades. The White Bear Lake School District was recognized at a White House conference for the school's initiative of giving library cards to each child enrolled in school. The promotion of literacy will encourage all students to read and give them access to both the School Media Center and Ramsey County Libraries. We have an exciting show for you today. Stick around. Reporting for the Shire, this is Alicia Utech.
Local Students News is sponsored by River Valley Athletic Club and Spa. Enjoy River Valley Athletic Club's day pass for only $12. Take a class, swim in the pool, play basketball, compete in racquetball, walk the treadmill, work with weights, and enjoy the fitness community. River Valley Athletic Club, big enough to have everything, small enough to know your name.
Thanks to Water Street Inn for sponsoring today's author interview with Stephanie Lanson. Sweet dreams are never more inviting than at Stillwater's only waterfront hotel. Victorian suites, special attention to details, modern amenities. Find out more at waterstreetinn.us. Today's episode of Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Inventory is at an all-time low right now. If you're thinking of moving, there's no better time to sell. Go to WendyGimple.com to see how Wendy's skills and expertise can help your real estate experience exceed your expectations.
Paperback Writer!
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. You are joining us for the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth episode in our 12-week series, How to Write a Novel, a step-by-step approach to capturing your story on paper. And today we're going to be talking about much more than another place, how to develop a strong setting. We're going to have three guests on to help us with that. We'll have Josiah, who's a sixth grader from New Richmond Middle School in Wisconsin, talk about developing setting in Minecraft. We'll have Wendy Gimple, real estate consultant extraordinaire, help us by explaining the difference in different homes, from a Victorian to a farmhouse, a rambler, a planned community. And then Stephanie Lansom, a historical biblical fiction author, will be coming on to talk with our new hosts, Aurora and Anna Claire. But first, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Steph at theshireonline.com, here with my BFF, best friend forever, and co-host Dina Livingston.
Hello.
Hi, Dina. And we are adding as a permanent fixture, we're bringing her into the limelight, Jenna, our producer.
Ooh,
who,
Jenna.
Ooh, hello.
Dina's new best friend, because Jenna's
job. She's timely.
Yeah. Well, Jenna is going to keep me. You may have noticed if you've listened to past shows that I'm not always timely, and I tend to want to keep talking to whomever we are talking to. Mm-hmm. So Jenna's going to help me out by playing music when I just really need to stop doing whatever it is I'm doing. So I'm both going to like that, Jenna, because I'm going to be curious what music you're going to be playing, and I'm probably going to get kind of mad at you. So just forewarning you.
Here's your 10-second warning, then.
You were going to give me a minute.
Yeah, you got a minute left.
Okay, so my 10-second warning about a minute. Okay, well, like I said, we are talking about setting today. If you are just joining us on Voices in the Valley and have missed our previous topics, please do go online to theshireonline.com or klbbradio.com to find out how to develop a writer's routine, how to create memorable characters, how to build conflict, how to outline plot. They are all there for you on theshireonline.com. And get lost in your imagination and take creative writing classes. We offer opportunities to secondary students, so go to theshireonline.com and check out those classes. Anyway, we are actually now going to have Josiah from New Richmond Middle School join us to talk about Minecraft. So that's going to be a very interesting interview, Dina. So I'm looking forward to Josiah. Well, here we are. I've got Josiah next to me, and I am delighted to have you on Voices in the Valley here on KLBB 1220 AM. So, Josiah, you are a sixth grader at New Richmond Middle School who is also the reserve champion, reserve grand champion, and multiple blue ribbon winner at the St. Croix County Fair for Minecraft. So, tell me, what is Minecraft? Because I have to admit, I only kind of sort of know.
Minecraft is a game where you can build things and create things that you see and think of. And whatever you really like, you can take things from books and movies, and you can build them and expand them and make them into new things. And you can even make your own things that you just want to make. So you could make a castle and then add some modern stuff to it. And you can even go into, that's in creative mode, which is just you have endless things that you can build with. And then if you want more of a challenge, there's a survival mode that allows you to actually make the things that you want. And then you can have the challenge of building those things in a much harder way.
Oh, wow. So let me make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So you're sitting at a laptop or a computer. Can you use an iPad or can you use a tablet as well to do
this?
Yeah,
they have it on many things. They have it for computer, Mac, Xbox, PS4, and then mobile devices.
Oh, wow. And so essentially you are creating on whatever technological device that you're using a world of your own.
Yes.
Wow, and you said that you can bring in, you can hodgepodge together modern and, so you could take like a Victorian house and put it in the middle of a skyscraper.
Yeah, you could do anything with it really. And you can even add to the things. So if you wanted to add like something, let's say you were making a house and then you liked Lord of the Rings or something, and you wanted to add like that kind of feel to the modern or older house, you could do that and kind of make it into your own thing.
Wow. So today we're talking about setting, and really with this technology you can create a visual setting. So just like writers write about a setting, you're creating it on the screen.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me about one of the settings, I'm going to just use that term, that you created that won one of your ribbons at the fair.
So my first setting I created, it was basically, so it was a really big house and a lot of other little things, like a farm, and it had all kinds of little detailed, like a swimming pool, and I added like TVs, and I added things that kind of add to the setting. Instead of just having a house in the farm, I added things in it to make it look more real and give it a little interesting look.
So was it all within, like, say, the modern time period? Did you have anything unusual in it, or were you trying to really represent what a farmhouse and a farm might look like?
I was representing that.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. And let me ask you this, when you're creating these scenes, do you ever populate them with characters in your head? Do you ever look at them and go, oh wow, what if this person lived here?
Yeah, I do that a lot. I made a Lord of the Rings build one time, and I wanted to like put in all kinds of things just from there, and then it'd look even cooler. It'd really look like it was from the movie and the books.
Wow. So then do you have yourself or actual characters that, quote unquote, enter into the Minecraft experience?
Well, there's different mods and stuff, modifications that you can get for the game. And there's one that I have because I really love the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit series. There's a Lord of the Rings mod, which when I can build my, when I built a Helm's Deep, which is a structure from one of the books, I actually put the characters from the mod into it, and it made it look like it's from the movie.
Oh, that's so cool. So let me ask you this. When you're creating, whether it's a farm with a farmhouse or you're creating something out of the Lord of the Rings, do you have a different experience of it depending on what you're creating? Meaning that if you were a character to enter into one of those scenes, does it feel very different if you're, let's say, exploring a Lord of the Rings sort of situation versus a farmhouse thing? What does setting do to the mood of...
Well, for the Lord of the Rings one, there's, like, mountains, and it gives it the... And it's more of, like, a castle-y kind of feeling, whereas the farmhouse, there's no mountains. It's kind of like a flat farmland. And it's, you know, it's a little different. So the farmhouse one, it's more modern, and the Lord of the Rings kind of seems like it's more medieval, and, yeah.
So what kind of characters do you think would be in... The Lord of the Rings, obviously many people have read The Lord of the Rings, so they know who would be in there, but does the setting of The Lord of the Rings lend itself towards being filled with elves and all of that?
Yeah.
It'd be a little more unusual if we found the elf in the...
In the farmhouse,
yeah. Exactly. But maybe that would be a great story, actually. Everybody out there, I challenge you to put an elf in a farmhouse... on a farm, and then bring in a goat and see what happens. Josiah, thank you. It's been so wonderful having you here, mm-hmm. and I want to go out and play Minecraft. I'm going to take over your PS3 or your laptop or whatever you have and go to town. Would you teach me?
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Josiah, very much.
Mm-hmm.
That is so interesting.
Minecraft is so popular.
I'm... jealous. We would have loved to have done that.
I would have loved it. It's so much fun, and so many people are into it.
Well, it's, you have to be so smart, too.
You do, and creative. You really have to have a creative streak.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. Oh, do you think it's too late for us? We could play Minecraft.
Absolutely.
Our new form of play. Okay, all right.
I don't think you'd allow me to.
All right. Well, that would be really fun. Maybe we'd fight.
Oh, that would be bad.
Oh, that would be. Okay, moving on.
About their Minecraft.
Let's introduce one of my favorite people, Wendy Gimple, who is, any of you who have listened to the show, Voices in the Valley knows, is just a fantastic real estate consultant and did such a great job with selling my house and helping me find my new nest.
Thank you, Wendy.
So, Wendy, welcome to Voices in the Valley. We are so happy to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, Wendy is going to help us out today because we are talking about setting and how to create a setting. And I know one of the things that writers often find is a difficult thing to do is to describe the home that their characters are living in. We know that when you develop a setting, the setting can really set the mood and the tone for what happens in your story. And even sometimes the setting can become a character and take on a life of its own. And so, Wendy, it'd be so helpful to fellow writers out there and of interest, I know, to our listeners as well, to just consider some of the different types of homes. And, you know, clearly as a real estate agent, you've been through many, many, what, probably hundreds of homes?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Thousands, probably.
And probably seen anything and everything, really.
Yeah, everything from no roof to, you know, million-dollar properties.
People have tried to sell a house without a roof.
Yeah, I actually sold one in St. Paul for $51,000. I had a buyer, $51,000, no roof. Yep.
Wow.
Well, you know, people buy those fixer-uppers.
Yeah, he was an investor, and he completely redid it and got it back.
He had a vision.
Yeah, he did. He was fantastic.
Okay, so if we were talking about character, I would say that you're like a fairy godmother or something because you can wave your magic wand and make things happen. But we're not. We're talking about setting and homes, and so I know that there is such a difference between what you would see and hear and even maybe smell if you were in a Victorian home versus a farmhouse versus a rambler or a planned community. And so I'm just wondering, if I were to visit a home, one of Stillwater's many beautiful Victorian places, what would I see? How would that be different from, say, something modern that we're used to today?
Well, a Victorian typically is you see the gingerbread. I like to define that from a farmhouse. So okay. Both early builds, 1900s, late 1800s. But a Victorian typically has more gingerbread and more detail. The rooms are typically more compartmentalized. So you walk in and you had the formal rooms more so okay. than today's open concept.
Okay.
And then when we talk about ramblers, and some people call them ranches, they are one level living. So okay. you usually have all the living facilities on one level. Sometimes in the older 1950s, laundry would be in the basement. Okay. But sometimes I've worked with clients to get the laundry moved upstairs if they would like to stay in the house and be able to live on one level.
Okay.
And then we have planned communities such as in the St. Croix Valley, Liberty on the Lake, Legends, Settlers Glen, Millbrook. Uh-huh. And those are planned communities, and certain builders were allowed to build in there. They had to use certain materials such as windows. You know, we try to be big supporters of Anderson Window in the Valley, and yep. I know in Liberty and Legends that was a requirement. And they have homes that kind of look older but have open concept and meet today's, what families today want.
Right. So if you're looking for that more open format, let's say you would go probably more towards a planned community. But if you want the quaintness of a historical setting with the big woodwork and the fancy stuff, then you would
go maybe towards something older, but you have to remember that an older home requires a lot of maintenance.
Right.
Probably not a good fit for a first-time home buyer because of the knowledge that's needed to keep things maintained and working.
Right. So really, when you're thinking about selling, and it's really important to consider what sort of buyer you're looking for, because a buyer of a Victorian home is going to be very different from a buyer of a Rambler. So let me ask you this. What's the real estate market like right now?
Well, right now we are just at an all-time low with inventory. I have buyers that I'm currently working with that can't find homes to purchase. I'm actually showing a house tonight that I did a bunch of networking and we got in before it hits the MLS. So if I could, you know, put anything out there, is that we really need listings. If you're at all considering selling or downsizing, I would love to be able to help you out.
So there's way more buyers
than there are homes to purchase.
Oh, wow.
So it is a seller's market. It really is.
So now is the time to contact Wendy.
Yep.
You can go to her website at wendygimple.com.
Yep.
Or what's the best way to connect with you?
You know, email, call me 651-214-7796. Text, email, I'm always there. Phone call, I would love to help you and just answer questions.
Wonderful. Repeat your phone number one last time, and then I know Jenna's making me stop.
651-214-7796.
Awesome. Thank you, Wendy. And that's not fair to Jenna, actually. She's the good guy in this.
Hey, leave you hired me to do a job.
Exactly. I did, and you are doing a mighty fine job. So, and, you know, speaking of setting and even Victorian homes, the Water Street Inn is a fantastic place to just, if you're wandering around Main Street, stop on in and see some of the details that they have renovated and saved in that inn.
Beautiful renovation.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
It's amazing. It used to be the Lumber Exchange Building back in 1890. And the early occupants were famous and wealthy lumber merchants. And what they've done now, though, is modernize the inn, kind of like the planned community. So it has all the modern amenities with still some of the historical beauty associated with it. And I know they have kept some of the original details, like the tin ceiling in the lobby and murals to replicate the Victorian decor of the era. And, of course, there's always been the fantastic river views. But definitely a good place to go to. And, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and they have a wonderful promotion the 12th, 13th, and 14th of February. Okay, Dina and Wendy, listen to this. Tell your honeys. You can go there and enjoy a bottle of champagne and two chocolate-covered strawberries in your room when you arrive. Then they have a five-course dinner at Charlie's Restaurant that truly would be so tasty and decadent. And then the next morning, you can indulge in a deluxe breakfast that has champagne or mimosas. And I just think you wouldn't want to leave, which is probably a problem for them, but a good problem for them
to have.
So I can't think of a more fun way to spend Valentine's Day than being spoiled by the Water Street Inn. So find out more by going to thewaterstreetinn.us, or if you're downtown Stillwater, wander in, take a look, go to Charlie's Restaurant, go to the pub, enjoy the music. They often have live music, and just visit one of the jewels on Main Street.
City.
Absolutely. You said all night, will you read my book? It took me years to write. Will you take a
based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I want to be a paperback writer.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Voices in the Valley. During the show, we have student writers and professional authors share tips, offer inspiration, and read selections from their work. The last half of our show is always hosted by students, and if you'd like to be a host, we'd love to make that happen. Just contact me, Steph, at theshireonline.com, and we'll see what we can do to get you on the air. Well, we're excited today because we are introducing two new hosts. We have Anna Claire and Aurora from Liberty Classical Academy. Welcome, ladies. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Atkins. Today, we're here with Stephanie Lansom, and we're very happy that she's here. And she is a historical fiction author. And Stephanie, we were wondering if you could tell us maybe a little bit more about your work and what you like about it.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I write historical fiction. I have three books out right now. They're Christian fiction, and they are biblically based. So when you're talking about setting, it's really fun to do a biblical setting. And it's a bit difficult, a little tricky, but it can be done.
Hi, Stephanie. Okay, so we were just wondering, what or who inspired you to write?
Well, I love to tell people about who inspired me to write. I have four children, and when my youngest daughter went into kindergarten, my oldest daughter, Rachel, we were driving in the car one day, and she said, "Mom, what do you want to do now that you have all this time on your hand, now that we're all, not time on your hands, and we're all in school?" And I said, "I don't really know, because I'd spent the last 10 years at home with my kids." And she said, "What would you do if you could do anything?" And I thought for just a second, and I said, "I would write historical fiction." And she said, "Well, why aren't you doing that?" I said, "Well, because I don't know how. I've never done it before. I was a history major in college, but I've never written fiction." And she said, "Mom, you would never let us get by with that." Which is true. And she said, "You try it. Do it. You just give it a shot and see what you can do." And I said, "You know what? You're right." And that's what got me started. The next day, I decided to sit down and see what I could do.
That is so cool.
I know. So thank you, Rachel.
Yes, thank you, Rachel, for this wonderful author that we have sitting next to us today, who is a part of your creation. So the other question, along going hand in hand with that one, is what is your process of research that you began to find yourself stepping into a pattern of that you use to acquire the information from your books? As you said, you write biblical historical fiction, which right. is not always the easiest to write, and sometimes the information isn't very easy to acquire. But
you're right about that. And luckily, research is my favorite part. So I spend a lot of time with books. The internet is great when it comes to research, but there's nothing like your public library, because your librarian mm-hmm. can find resources for you that really are exactly what you need. So I spend a lot of time at the library. I check out lots of books and do a lot of reading, especially when for my biblical historical stuff, because you really need to know what you're talking about. So
cool.
Library is the first stop.
What would be one of your favorite sections there? Do you have a particular author that you like to study their work and research about?
Well, not particularly, no, but I guess the very best thing to use when you're doing biblical fiction is the Bible. It's got a lot of stuff in it that'll actually let you know, the historical details that you need to know. But really, there's just so much out there. It's more like sifting through and finding exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what would you say is the best resource for any writer that is interested in pursuing historical fiction?
The best resource for historical fiction is the library.
The library?
Yes. There are a lot of great websites when it comes to historical fiction, but it's really important to get the primary sources if you've ever studied history. Mm-hmm. There's primary sources and there's secondary sources. And you really want to get as much information from primary sources as you can. And also, it really helps with your plot and your story. Because even though you're making up things in your head as far as the plot, mm-hmm. You can get a lot of really interesting plot, you know, plots and dialogue right out of actual primary sources from history. So, library.
Nice.
I love the library.
Who doesn't?
So, each of your three books has a slightly different setting that have each, if you know the Bible, as some people do, have been based off of certain stories in the Bible that mm-hmm. you've expanded and written books off of. And mm-hmm. they're all loosely connected to each other as kind of a three-part series, correct?
That's right.
So, what I was wondering is, where did you have that moment where you went, aha, I want to write a book about this particular story?
Well, I've always been interested in the women in the Bible mm-hmm. Because we don't hear a lot about them. We kind of have to just guess what happens to a lot of them, and yet they're very important. And so I took some stories where women were really important in the Bible, and I thought to myself, what happened next for this woman, like the woman at the well in Samaria? What happened next? And Mary and Martha, Jesus' friends, what happened to them after Lazarus was raised? So that's kind of where I have my aha moment, is finding a woman who is important and trying to figure out the rest of her story.
Okay. So you have three books. I'm just wondering, what's your favorite book out of all of those three? Do you have a preference?
I do. I would say the one in the middle. It's called The Thief, and it's the it's about a kind of a outcast girl in Jerusalem who does what she needs to do to get by. And I won't tell you much more about her other than there's a bit of a twist in her story. And I love her, and so she is that's my favorite book, The
Personal
Thief.
Personal favorite
It's called
character.
The Thief. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested already.
I've always loved biblical characters and finding out where their stories continue. If you had to pick one major event in your life that you think influenced your writing, what would it be? Maybe a particular travel trip that you went on, or maybe even a near-death experience, things, or something just completely out of the blue?
I would say it's travel. I have traveled a lot. I started traveling when I was 17. And I think every country I've gone to has kind of opened up my eyes to different cultures and how people do things very differently. But really, we're all looking for the same things in life and mm-hmm. how we're very much the same, even though we seem to be very different. So I would say travel.
That is so interesting. And I have to say, I love to travel as well. And I'm so sad because we've come to the end of our time. And there are so many more questions I have. I know I wish I could ask you, but let's do end with this. Could you please tell us your books and where we might be able to purchase them?
Oh, sure. There's three books. They're published by Simon & Schuster, so you can find them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They're in some Barnes & Noble stores. They're in the Stillwater bookstore. Valley Bookseller always has them and usually signed copies at Valley. Or you can go to my website, which is stephanielansom.com.
Stephanie, thank you so much. And thank you, Aurora and Anna Claire, for doing such a nice interview with our author.
Yes, thank you for having us.
And
yes.
I'd also like to thank Water Street Inn for sponsoring our interview with Stephanie Lansom. Pamper yourself with a night away at the Water Street Inn and take advantage of their Valentine's Day promotion, or have a nice meal at Charlie's Restaurant. Go to waterstreetinn.us. Thank you to everyone for joining us today at Voices in the Valley. We are so glad to have you along for our topic, looking at setting and how to develop a setting. So I know it's been really informative for me. I know I need to go into detail when I'm looking at setting, and also that the library can be my very, very best friend. And how fun, once we know a setting, to know our character and then ask ourselves what happens next. So please listen in next week, where we will continue our How to Write a Novel series with I Can Hear You, How to Write Really Good Dialogue. We will have Valley Bookseller, who is also selling Stephanie Lansom's books, will be our sponsor of that. And Valley Bookseller will be sponsoring an interview with Stillwater resident David Arndt. His book, Grim Patriot, will be coming out this spring. Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Find out how to list your home to attract the best buyer by connecting with Wendy on wendygimple.com.